The following aid program, the opinions expressed are solely those of the sponsor and not necessarily those of WFAS or its advertisers.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
Hello again, everybody. This is Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney, heard right here on WFAS AM 1230 every Thursday night from 6 to 6:30 p.m. And this week, we have joining us Leo Cunningham, who's a financial advisor with Smith Barney in Carmel, New York. Welcome, Leo.
Thanks, Bernie. How's it going?
It's going great, and it's good to have you here.
I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Let's talk a little bit about, Leo has a very interesting background, ladies and gentlemen. Leo didn't exactly go into financial services right out of college. Tell us what you did before you became a financial advisor.
Well, I was a pilot in the military for about 11 years. I started off flying the EF-111 Raven, which is a radar jamming platform that was retrofitted from the F-111, which is a swing-wing fighter bomber, and then had the opportunity to serve over in the Gulf in 1992, 1993, and 1994. And then after that, I was an instructor pilot at NATO training base in Wichita Falls, Texas. After that, I got out and flew for United Airlines for about 3.5 years, flying primarily the Airbus 320.
So any noticeable differences in flying a commercial jet from flying one of those planes over Iraq?
I would say that obviously military flying is quite a bit more exciting, and there's a real mission that you're trying to accomplish. I also enjoyed flying the airliners as well, different type of thing, working with the crew. It was quite enjoyable, but I would say lighting my hair on fire was probably a bit more fun.
You know, one of the things that always intrigued me as a control freak that I am is you pilots, you fly at night, and, you know, I like to see where I'm going. So how do you, you're going at 500-600 miles an hour, and what, you can't see 10 feet in front of you?
Right, well, it's interesting you bring that up. In the EF-111, it flew low level at night in, terrible weather, and would use what they call terrain-following radar. And it would, and you would actually put it on autopilot and fly over ridges and down low. It could go down as low as just a couple hundred feet off the ground. Usually we're a little bit higher than that, but it's a lot of crew coordination because the 111 was a two-seat fighter bomber.
And you just have to trust the computer?
Exactly.
Because, I mean, you really can't see out the window, right?
No.
It's dark, pitch black.
Yeah, I mean, it could be complete cloud cover and you can't see anything. As a matter of fact, you get so close to a ridge line, you could see the red beacon reflecting right against the wall of a canyon beside you.
So
it's a lot of crew coordination to make sure that you don't mess anything up.
So you need a strong stomach for that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, you need a strong stomach for the markets, too, these days. So.
Not your clients.
Well.
Yep. So how did you make the transition over from being an airplane pilot into financial services?
Well, finance has always been a burning passion for me, and it was really one of the reasons I got an MBA when I was on active duty in the Air Force. And what happened was, after United Airlines went into bankruptcy following the events of September 11th, presented with me with an opportunity to branch off and do something that I really want to enjoy and build a new career on as a financial advisor. And that's really how it worked out, and it's just pursuing another passion, like I'm sure you're doing the same for you.
And did you, were you able to build off of any parallels between the two professions?
Absolutely. I would say that is probably the one primary thing that I have noticed, is that success in flying and in success in managing your wealth, or people call it managing your finances as well, the one single ingredient is the planning that goes into it in advance. And the example I like to use is, when I'm talking with my clients, is that imagine you're at Kennedy Airport and you're going to take off and fly to Los Angeles International Airport with your family. And when you're down there, you overheat, you find out that the pilots who are flying the plane, they know that all they know is they're going to the West Coast, but that's about it. And they haven't done, they're not even sure of the route of flight, they're not sure how much fuel is required to be on board, what the emergency airfields are en route. Let me ask you, Bernie, would you take your family on that flight if that was the circumstances?
No, I think I'd rather not know.
Well, Well, you know, that's exactly what's going on with a lot of people when they end up managing their wealth, is they haven't done the kind of planning, and essentially they're on that flight.
Well, you know, my good friend Yogi Berra used to say, it's hard to get where you're going if you don't know where you're going. So that sort of sounds like it applies in financial planning.
Well, exactly.
Now, you know, my experience, you know, dealing with clients and planning for the future and the elder care and the special needs, is this is not a pleasant experience. People don't wake up in the morning and say, yippee, I want to go to my lawyer today, or yippee, I want to go talk to my financial planner. How do we get people to overcome this apprehension and recognize how important it is to do this in advance?
Well, I think, first of all, people need to understand that there's so much at stake here. I mean, this their wealth, and it's an awkward term for me to use, but it's really the most appropriate one, is really a culmination of all their efforts to date. You know, smart investments they've made, byproduct of their education and their hard work and their ingenuity, those types of things. And I would say that there are two primary trends that are developing in American society today. The first one is that people are living longer lives, and while that's a great thing, the one disadvantage to that is that you run the risk of outliving your savings. And let me give you a couple examples here, because this is really important. In one study, if you were to take a 62-year-old male today, the median life expectancy for him is age 85. That means 50% of all males will die before they reach age 85. The other 50% will live longer than age 85. Now, for a woman, 62 years of age, her median life expectancy is 88 years of age. 50% of all women who are 62 will die before they reach age 88. The other 50% will live longer than 88. Here's where it gets even more interesting. You take a married couple, let's say, all right, both age 62. The median life expectancy for the longest surviving spouse is 92 years of age. Did you know that?
No.
Did you realize that it's quite a long time, and you can end up with people who plan on an early retirement, you know, around the time when you can start collecting Social Security as early as 62, you could end up in a situation perhaps where you spend as much time in retirement as you did in your productive years, or, you know, very close to that.
That's fascinating, I'll tell you. You know, with the advances in modern medicine and people living longer, you know, I like to tell people, you know, the good news is people are living longer, and the bad news is people are living longer.
Right.
Because, you know, as you live longer, not only do you need to make sure you have enough money to sustain your lifestyle that you've grown accustomed to, but as importantly, if you're living longer, you're much more likely to contract a chronic illness like an Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or dementia that would require hundreds of thousands of dollars of care, mm-hmm. which is a tremendous drain on resources. And I know your clients are probably concerned about that as well.
Right.
So I think that it's really important that you do what you do and you get clients to recognize that this is something where you've really got to take the bull by the horns and plan in advance. So tell me about some of the, I know you work with senior clients. Tell me about some of the things you enjoy about working with seniors.
Well, I think one of the things that I enjoy the most about them is many times they are perhaps more focused on the legacy they're going to leave behind for the children and grandchildren, and how to best basically pass their hard work, their smart decisions, and those types of things onto the next generation and the generation beyond that. And it's really interesting to see how the preparations people make to do that. But it's a difficult thing as well, because, you know, we're talking about the end.
Yeah. People, at least in our experience, don't like to face their own mortality or their own infirmity. And we find it's a tremendous challenge for the attorney and the financial planner to actually get people to realize that there are certain things you can control and
right.
there are certain things you can't. This is Bernie Crooks, host of the weekly radio show heard right here on WFAS AM 1230 on Thursday nights from 6 p.m.